radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Turn with us in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. There is a word from the Lord, and I want to identify all of our ministry leaders, because this message today is first and foremost to our ministry leaders, but there is a word for everybody. Pleasant Hill, I want you to know today, and the reason the Lord gave me this message is because he's about to provide a shift in our ministry. He's about to promote us to another level, but he can't do it without us. I said he cannot do it without us. Let me tell you something. Pleasant Hill is covered with God's favor. And it didn't just start this year, but for 118 years, God has been favoring. If you believe that, come on, put those hands together and say, I believe it. God's favor is on us. And ain't nothing the devil can do about it. That's one thing about favor. See, favor is really hard to explain, because for the one who has been favored, it's always difficult, if not impossible, for you to explain why you got the favor in the first place. God did it because he wanted to. Amen. Come on, where are my favored folk who know it ain't because I've been so good? And it sure ain't because I've done everything right. But he favored me. Amen. And we thank God for that kind of favor. In Pleasant Hill, while you're standing, and I know y'all don't mind standing. I'm about to stand for about 20, 30 minutes, so y'all don't mind standing. I want to identify all of our ministry leaders, and I'm going to just do my best because I want to actually call the names. And I'll start with the chairman of our deacon board, Brother Joe Averhart, the chairperson of our deaconess ministry, Sister Marie Averhart. And then our decoration ministry leader, Sister Dina Stewart, is sitting there with her baby. Our drill team director, Brother Greg Wright. Amen. Our usher director, Brother Billy Davis. Amen. Our youth director, Sister Mary Landry. Our choir director, Sister Cassandra Wilson. Our Women of Virtue and Excellence Ministry Director, Sister Charlotte Cooper. Our Youth Choir Director, Sister Angie Culbert. Our Youth Usher Director, Sister Shemaine Wilson. Our Media Ministry Director, Minister Lacking, Henry Lacking. Our Sound Ministry Director, Brother Sidney Lott. Our Pastoral Support Ministry Director, Sister Shawnee Powell. Who am I missing? Our Senior Citizen Ministry Director, Sister Angela DeGray, and also our Deployed Service Member Support Group Director. She gave that up, didn't you? Amen. So we need a new person to lead that ministry. All right. And am I forgetting anybody? Our New Members Ministry Director, Sister Patricia McClinton. Our Brotherhood Director, Men of Vision, Brother John Moore. Our Hospitality Ministry Director, Sister Shana Hunter. Who am I missing? Prison Ministry Director, Minister Carlton Wilson. And he's also our Transportation Ministry Director. Our Culinary Ministry Director, Sister Chris Corbin. Our Sunday School Superintendent, Brother Henry Stewart. Missing anybody else? interior decorating ministry director, Sister LaBarbara Lott. And that's it, I think. All right. So if I forgot you, I'll remember before the end of the sermon. I mentioned Brother Lott. Uh-huh. Amen. Our street beautification ministry director, Brother Glenn Garner. And that's it. All right. Let's thank God for all of our ministry directors, ministry leaders. I mentioned them. Sister Shawnee Powell. Amen. All right. So I wanted to do that because I need us, as God takes us into this shift, to know that when we go into this shift, we've got to go in as a team. Amen. And in a few weeks, ministry leaders, if you want to keep your position, and I hope that all of you will, we're going to be having some intensive training, seminars, and sessions, and I need you to be there, all right? I need you to make a real effort to be a part of what God is getting ready to do in the life of Pleasant Hill. Bishop Martin, my father in the ministry, has a song that says, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. And I hope that is the prayer of every one of our ministry leaders. Lord, whatever you're doing, whatever you're getting ready to do at Pleasant Hill, don't do it without me. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read the first few verses. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Amen. At the reading of God's word, may God be glorified, may the church be edified, and may the devil be horrified. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I just want to talk for a few moments. They said at our convention this week, one of the pastors, Pastor Alan Waller, who pastors a great ministry, I forget what city it's in, but he did say that he has 15,000 members. And I know that he's a great preacher and great pastor. Amen. But he did a seminar on attracting millennials into our churches. And the millennials, for those of you who don't know, that's the generation after Generation X. All right? The millennials, and that's this younger group, I guess 24 to 35. It's hard to get them to come to church because one reason is most of them didn't grow up in homes like us did, the baby boomers and the Generation Xers. We grew up in homes where you was going to church. But mom, I didn't get in till you was going to church. Amen. But I got to go to work. You was going to church. And so a lot of them did not grow under that kind of strict guidance. But we need to get them in our churches, but we can't bring them in our churches and not offer them something that's going to keep them in our churches. Amen? So this passage, where do we go from here? That's what I want to talk about. This passage is ancient, but the promise is still standing. Verse 1 of chapter 55 begins by saying, ho, or hey, in our modern day vernacular, everyone that thirsteth. And I struggle to give legitimacy to how that text ought to be said. If we were seated in a small group of people, I could say, will everyone please listen? And we would hear. But I get the feeling that the prophet was not talking to a small group of people. And since we don't do ministry simply in small circles, the question is, how do we get the ears of those for whom the words of this text are intended? So I think we ought not just say, hey, to everyone who thirsts, but hey, woke somebody up. That is, if we're going to get their attention, the ears of those who need to hear what the prophet is saying. How do we get their ears? Well, first of all, whose ears? There's a metaphor used here. These are the ears of people who are thirsty and hungry, but not for water and not for food. You know, those things are satisfying, but tell your neighbor they don't last. The reference and the inference here is that there is a desire for something that is life-sustaining as well as tasty. Some things are tasty, but you don't need them. When I was growing up, I loved chocolate milk and oatmeal cakes. I loved it so much, somebody said, I can tell. I loved it so much that my father opened me an account at Hunt's Grocery. Some of you may know the chief of police of Nulano, Danny Hunt. Well, his dad owned Hunt's Grocery that was right across the tracks there. Amen. And my dad opened me an account there so I could go every day on my walk home from school, drop in and get me a carton of chocolate milk and an oatmeal cake. I loved it and I wanted it, but guess what? It wasn't necessary for my living. This text references stuff that has to do with the basic fundamental necessities of living, the experience of abundant life. How many of you know Jesus came that we might have the abundant life? And if you're not experiencing the abundant life, you need to tap into the Word and find out, God, how do I get to experience the abundant life? And let me tell you, it ain't all about creature comforts. So please don't get it twisted. Amen. It's a bold statement. Hey, everyone who thirsts. And I believe we need to hear this as a church as we seek to draw new people into our fellowship. We need to have our parochial interests and limitations challenged because we never want to reach a point in ministry where we don't have an everyone focus. It can't be just a neighborhood focus. It can't be just a like us focus. Sometimes we cause our own growth to be stunted because we don't look for everyone. Tell your neighbor, everyone. We want a limited circle of people. Folks like us are folk that we like, but not everyone. No limitations are set in the scripture that we're reading here today. He says, hey, everyone. That means black people, white, red, male, female, young, old, everyone who has this basic hunger and need is being called here. We shouldn't look at and judge people for what they wear or how they dress. Love them anyway. Would you want someone to look down upon your children because of the way they dress or look? And please don't say that your children wouldn't dress inappropriately because you taught them better. You don't know what they'll do outside of your presence. And when you look at it, there is no one outside of everyone because everyone is looking for life. Some of us think that living has to do simply with the extension of our days, but it is more than just the extension of our days. Everybody is looking for life. And if God is going to hold anything against the church, this may well be one of the things we're going to have to answer for. It is that we have not dealt with life issues, and we have not dealt with everyone as a focus. We have a limited vision. We have, in our minds, a limited capacity. And no world vision, but we've got to wake up to this reality that God is calling us to say, hey, to everybody, coming by, coming by. It's to reflect a confidence, watch this, in the efficacy of what we're offering. Because if you don't believe in it, then you can't cry everyone. If you don't believe that your product is a good product, you can't cry out too loudly for a person to come. If you don't have any confidence, I'm talking to ministry leaders, at all in what you have to sell, then you are a poor salesman. We have to be careful when we don't invite everybody to a meal that is being served because we don't think we have enough food on the table to feed everybody. That's why you give out invitations to selected folk because you can't provide stuff for everybody. Amen. So you send out specific invitations. What's that word? Yeah, that's the abbreviation, but my secretary can say it. Responde souffle. Amen. All right, all of that. Souffle and cafe. But you send out an invitation like that because you recognize that you don't have enough for everybody to come. But is there anybody here who knows that when God invites us to his table, when God tells us to invite everyone to his table, that he's got enough to supply for everybody at the table? I wish you'd turn to your neighbor and say, there's room for you. There's room in this ministry for you. There's room in God's family for you. But this everyone emphasis in the scripture reflects a belief in the sufficiency and efficacy of what we're offering. Hey, everyone who thirsts. It's frustrating, y'all, to try to get someone's attention and you just can't seem to break through. And every pastor has that problem because people attend doesn't mean, amen, you have their attention. So pastors struggle with how to get the attention of people. We show up, but we don't always have the attention of the people who come. Some folk right now, I guarantee you, are checking their Facebook page. Some folk right now, I guarantee, where's Sister Landry? They're asleep. Amen. It's hard sometimes to get everybody's attention. Well, why is it so hard to get people's attention? I have to confess that we may have difficulty getting attention because our efforts are so weak. We say, hey, but not hey. We got to wake some folk up. Our efforts are weak and feeble because we doubt what we're offering. And if you can't say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, you've got to take somebody else's word for it. And it's hard to be convincing on somebody else's testimony. It's hard to teach a Sunday school class and tell folk about Jesus and his power to save if you've never been saved. It's hard to sing a song about, I know the Lord will make a way somehow, if you've never been in a situation where you had to sit back and wait on God to make a way somehow. And now that you've been through that thing, you can look back over your life and say, after all that I've been through, that's why some folks sing with no passion. That's why sometimes we preach with no passion, because we ain't been through nothing. But guess what? If you believe in the power of what you're preaching, if you believe in the power of what you're teaching, if you believe in the power of what you're singing about, you'll do it with passion. No praise team will have to tell you, amen, to clap. Nobody will have to tell you to say amen. Nobody will have to tell you to stand up and give God thanks. When I think about how good he's been. So it's hard to get through sometimes and get people's attention because sometimes what we're doing and saying is too weak. Sometimes our invitation is weak because we don't have a passion for what we're doing. Some folk are just fulfilling obligations but not really expecting any results. Did you hear what I said? Some people are just happy with the title. As the director of this, as the president of that. But when is the last time anybody's life has been impacted because you're the head of that ministry? When is that? And let me hit everybody up in here, because God didn't save you just for you to come in and say, I saved now. He saved each and every one of us because he wants to build up in us the ability to get somebody else saved. Now, let me ask you, how many, if you look around this room, how many folk in here can you say you had something to do with them being saved? All right, I saw one who said me. Amen. That's good. But we all have a responsibility. Sometimes it's difficult to get folks' attention because there's so many competing voices out there. If you're not loud and clear in what you're saying, you can't break through. And y'all, one thing the Bible and church history ought to teach us is that the devil is an expert in offering false lures. The fishermen know what a false lure is. Amen. Amen. He will provide stuff and tell people, this will satisfy your thirst. This will satisfy your taste. There are a whole lot of people out there who are trying to sell religious products, but they are false products that really are not going to provide light. The devil has long since decided that he can't stop this thing, so what he tries to do is submarine it. He redefines what it's all about. He'll wrap it up in religious language. He'll put it in religious structures, but what he offers is false hopes and false doctrines and false messages. Tell your neighbor, I want what's real. I want what's real. One of the challenges of our church is to cry, with a loud voice, and to utilize those resources that will enable us to reach people that we don't reach in our normal ways. Now we've been saying, hey, and in response, people who happen to wander in off the streets into the church may hear something about the church that they like, or like the way the choir sounded, or like the way the preacher sounded. They may come and join. But we really haven't reached out to persons who are spiritual and unchurched, Pleasant Hill, because they don't even know where we are and don't come under the sound of our voices. That's why I'm such an advocate for Facebook and social media. And I know some of y'all get mad at me for some stuff I put out there, and I've toned it way down. Amen. But I always promote Pleasant Hill. Sometimes before an event is over, I've already gone on Facebook and put the pictures up, put everything up about it, because I want the community to know that we're not just in-house focused, we're community focused. Thank you, Sister Bill. Thank you, all of the persons who worked with Sister Bill to collect the supplies for Hurricane Harvey relief. Thank you so much. Amen. What a blessing it is for a pastor to put something in somebody's hands, and then you can stand back and trust that it's going to be done with excellence. It's going to be done right. Thank you. Let's give all of those workers a hand who sent all of those supplies. Three truckloads of stuff they collected and boxed up. And then we have to thank Mr. Troy Ozan, who owns Highway 171 Jeep and Chrysler. He provided trucks, amen, and picked the stuff up and made sure it got to Beaumont or wherever it needed to go. That's why I'm on Facebook. That's why social media is important. That's why I'm completely resolved that we have a web page. I can't tell you how many people have found Pleasant Hill simply because before they came to Leesville and Fort Polk, they went online, they searched for churches in the area, and Pleasant Hill popped up. I simply need some volunteers to help keep the webpage updated, to keep it relevant. Pastor can't do it all. Amen. And I'm always looking for willing workers. The internet provides a means of communication that people all over the world use for research. That's why we have live streaming. Sister Tracy Jackson, she's way over in what Dubai somewhere, Kuwait, and she watches us every Sunday. There are people all across America who were former members of Pleasant Hill, and they can't be here now, but they can still tune in by way of online streaming. That's important. Amen. We need to holler, hey, when people are searching and flipping the pages of the internet to find a church in their community, to find someone who's serious about the Bible and the Word of God, we need to shout, hey, here is where we can help you wrestle with your problems. On television, there are a lot of false lures and false prophets and all kind of fake stuff on the TV, amen, prophets teaching folk, if you know God, he's going to make you rich. I wish somebody would nudge your neighbor and say, don't believe that. Then they'll tell you, if you ain't rich, you don't know God. Somebody else ought to nudge that other neighbor and say, well, sure enough, don't believe that. That's why we are on the radio every Sunday and at 5 o'clock in the evening. Some of y'all don't even know we're on the radio every Sunday. We're on the radio every Tuesday. 88.1 FM. We broadcast all over the state of Louisiana and parts of Mississippi. Shreveport hears us. Monroe hears us. All over this state, they hear us because we believe in what we're talking about. We believe in what we're singing about. And we want people to know that there is power in the name of God. Do I have a witness today? So he says, hey, say it with power. Say it like you know what you have is worth hearing. But then the next thing is listen. He says you're dealing with unanswered questions and you're dealing with that which doesn't yield too much. Listen to the scripture again. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? There are those who are teaching now that money is bread. So if you have money, then you have life. But how many folks have full pockets, bulging bank accounts, but still have empty lives? Still searching with no deep satisfaction within. And so they spend and spend thinking that spending is going to satisfy their thirst. Oh, we buy clothes galore, not because we need them, but because we're trying to satisfy something. And so there is no such thing as having enough. Y'all know how we do. Just push that old stuff aside, squeeze something else in there. I just described somebody's closet, somebody's drawer. Come on. Amen. We could have had 10 truckloads. If some of y'all had taken the time to go in that closet, and can I talk to y'all and talk to me too? I got some suits and stuff, and I got some tailor-made suits. I had made at Panzai up on 7th Avenue in New York. Another one I had made at Leonardo's in Atlanta, and I can't squeeze in them, but I keep them in that closet because I keep saying I'm gonna lose this weight. I'm going to wear this. You're going to be worn again. Come on, I ain't the only one in here. Y'all got some stuff. But a lot of that is because we're trying to satisfy something as if money can buy satisfaction. Can I tell you what we're trying to buy? Some folk are trying to buy a sense of self, trying to buy some identity. We think to ourselves, what I wear will give me identity. Where I live will give me identity. If I drive this kind of car, then I'll be somebody. If I join this club or organization, I'll be somebody. If I wear the right brand, I'll be somebody. If I live in the right neighborhood, then I'll be somebody. I thank God he delivered me a few years ago from worrying about trying to impress people. Because when we think this way, we're trying to buy a sense of self, believing that things will make us somebody. And if things don't do it for us, then perhaps the approval of others will. Perhaps we're trying to buy some status in the eyes of others, because if enough people say so, then we must be somebody. Y'all would be amazed at the number of people who are bankrupt and busted because they've been spending money that they don't have to try and impress people that they don't know and wouldn't like them if they did. You would be surprised at the young girls who've messed their lives up because they're trying to get their sense of self from some fella whom they follow and allow to define them and say who they are because they want his approval. They end up with children that they can't take care of. They end up with burdens on their lives that ought not to be burdens. Children ought to be a blessing. What ought